coffee.
The Vaseline Program, presenting a new Dr. Christian prize play called The Hero, by Francesca Falk Miller of Chicago, Illinois, starring Jean Herschel as Dr. Christian and Helen Clare as Judy Price. Men, have you a dry scalp? It's not hard to tell. If your hair is dry, hard to comb, if it sheds dandruff flakes, if your scalp feels tight and itchy, dry scalp is probably your trouble. Check it with Vaseline Hair Tonic. Just 5 drops a day keeps dry scalp away. Here's why. Vaseline Hair Tonic checks dry scalp by supplementing the natural scalp oils. It contains no alcohol or other drying ingredients. Apply Vaseline Hair Tonic with your comb or directly to the scalp to keep your hair neat, well-groomed all day long. And before every shampoo, massage the scalp vigorously with Vaseline Hair Tonic. An extra aid that loosens dandruff scales, relieves itchy tightness. Men, if your druggist is temporarily out of the 40-cent size, get the economical 70-cent size. It's 3 times as big, saves money. But get a bottle of Vaseline Hair Tonic tonight. See how much better your hair looks, how much better your scalp feels. Remember, more bottles of Vaseline Hair Tonic are sold today than any other hair tonic. Tonight's play opens in the familiar office of Dr. Christian, with Dr. Christian saying to Judy,
"Well, this is the day, Judy. Poor Susan Blake. It's an ordeal for her, yet she wants to do it. Next to having her son John come back alive from the war, she wants his memory honored."
"Well, he was a hero, wasn't he, Dr. Christian?"
"Yes, he won the Distinguished Service Cross, I believe. But after that..."
Are they certain he went down with his plane into the sea?"
"Yes, I'm sure that after that he went down to the sea. Quite certain. Only one man survived. He was picked up badly wounded and died a few days later. From him, they got all the information."
"Oh, there's Mrs. Blake now, coming up the walk. I wonder what she wants."
"Well, I only hope she doesn't want me to make a speech along with the mayor and the parson."
"Cheer up. I've already got the speech written for you."
"Oh, come in. I hear that the whole county is turning out today in your son's honor. You must be very proud."
"Oh, I am. But I'm nervous now that the great moment has arrived. Did you ever see a more beautiful monument, Doctor?"
"No, and it dominates the whole cemetery. You can well be proud of it."
"And very proud of my boy.
That's the principal thing.
Doctor, won't you say a few words today about my son? You knew him so well, ever since he was a little boy."
"Indeed, I did. I took him through measles, chicken pox, mumps, and all the rest."
"But when he needed us, we couldn't help him."
"Oh, but we mustn't think of that now. We must only remember Johnny as a hero today, a flyer who gave his life for his country."
"That's all that makes his death bearable to me. I miss him so."
"There's Judy."
"Oh, Dr. Christian, it really is beautiful. So white and stately. I'm going nearer to read the inscription. Captain John Blake, born 1916, died 1944, to the memory of a hero. He would have been 28 years old, wouldn't he? His brother Ted, 5 years younger."
"Yes, Judy, Ted is 23. And speaking of Ted, here he comes now with Mary Irvin."
"Oh, they're engaged to be married, aren't they?"
"Oh, now, I wouldn't know."
"They're together constantly."
"Mary is a very lovely girl."
She was John's sweetheart first, you know. Perhaps he reminded her of his brother."
"No, I hardly believe that's it. They were nothing alike."
"Well, now that they're here, I'll be leaving. I've got to finish those accounts if I'm coming back for the services. Good afternoon, Miss Irwin. Hello, Miss Price. Dr. Christian.
Oh, it's nice to see you again, Lieutenant Blake."
"Hi, Miss Price. Dr. Christian."
"Oh, goodbye, Doctor. I'll close the office before I come back."
"Oh, yes, do. There won't be any patients calling now. Well, Ted, this is quite a day for your family. Hello, Mary, dear. How are your mother and father? Will the comfort ceremony this afternoon?
Dr. Christian, everybody's coming. Oh, if only John could know. How proud he'd be.
Maybe he does know, Mary. We have no way of telling how close our dear ones are to us after death.
Drop the gloomy talk, you two. Mother wants John's service to be a memorial, not a funeral.
With the music and sunshine, it won't be gloomy. Well, now that we've seen the monument before the crowds come, let's go back and get your mother, Ted.
Okay, sweetheart.
Wait for me by the gate, Ted. I want to speak to Dr. Christian alone.
Well, hurry up. Don't take too much of my time. I want to spend every minute of my leave with just one special girl, you know.
I just wanted to say, Dr. Christian, that Ted is only second in my heart. He's John's brother, but I can never forget. I'll always love John.
I understand. Now, run along. Remember, the living come first. Dress your prettiest, Mary, and smile if you can. For Susan Blake's sake.
Oh, I will. And I must hurry. People are already coming into the grounds.
Oh, well, that's only a tramp and a few kids. The services won't start for another hour or so.
Well, goodbye. I'll see you later.
Yes, and hear me, too. I'm making a speech.
Goodbye until the great speech, then. Bye.
Goodbye. Great speech, huh? Hey, you kids. Leave that man alone. What are you doing to him? Yes, you better run. Did you fall down, my man, or did those boys push you? Just at that devilish age. Well, you're faint. Here, lie down in the grass. Let me help you. I'm a doctor.
Don't bother about me. I'm just a hobo.
Oh, here, take a whiff of this. I always carry a bag with me in case of accident. Now, you feel a little better?
Yes, I guess so. A little dizzy.
When did you eat last?
Yesterday, sometime. I've forgotten.
But you managed a drink or two, I noticed.
I needed it.
Not as much as you need good food. Now, do you think you could make it to my car over there by the gate?
I guess so. If you steady me to my feet.
Well, there you are. Now, better lean on me and walk slowly.
No, I'm too dirty.
Oh, nonsense. Now, here we go. It's only a few steps. A hot meal and bath will do wonders.
You're very kind to a tramp.
Lean back and take it easy. We'll soon be at the office.
No, wait. Doctor, look at me.
I know you.
Thought no one would know me under this black beard.
But you're thin on, older, and...
And a dirty hobo.
But John Blake, just the same. And tell me what happened. You know you were reported dead?
Yeah, but I was picked up by a little fishing boat somewhere near Calais. I was half drowned and badly shot up, but the French peasant saved me.
Most remarkable.
They let me stay with them until it was getting dangerous to protect an American. The Germans searched the countryside daily. I hid any place I could find. Cow stalls, dung heaps, hay racks. Once under an old scow, half underwater.
Then at last you reached America?
And I didn't report to the army. I was in disgrace.
Disgrace?
Well, just not in good standing. I had a fracas with my major. It's a long story.
But you won the Distinguished Service Cross.
It was a rumor. I never won a piece of soap. It was another John Blake from Ohio.
But your mother, Mary Irving, your sweetheart. What of them and all the friends in River's End?
Well, instead of a few speeches, a parade, and a band marching through town, they'll have me. The hero will not be under the sea with a big monument erected in his honor. He'll return at the most dramatic moment, alive. Surprise!
You can't do this to your mother, John. You can't disgrace her in this manner.
Disgrace her? What do you mean?
I mean just this. Your mother grieved for you, naturally. The loss of one of her sons was hard to take. But she had pride left. Pride in all she thought you'd done and had been. A good soldier with a fine record. A winner of medals. A hero. So she put her grief aside and arranged to do you an honor. A great honor to a great man.
And the prodigal comes home a bum, huh?
Looking like one, yes. Reeking of dirt and stale liquor. At the surter, perhaps.
No, not that. I just haven't reported. They think I'm dead. I can either go back to the war or at least be discharged honorably, more or less.
This war is not over. Your brother's in it, too. You should go back again, perhaps this time to be really a hero, not a dream one of your mother's.
I hate this war. I've had enough of it.
So have many of our boys. They're sticking it out. They know we must end it one way only, in complete victory for everyone in the fight.
Well, I've no idea going back. I wouldn't want to be dragged back into the service. I want to marry and make some money.
Well, do you think Mary Irving would marry you now?
Why not? That is, unless she's switched to my kid brother. He's younger and better looking.
Yes, yes, and in the uniform of his country.
And that's another reason I'm going to make myself known. Spoil his fun. Now, Doc, I'm going to walk in on him today and break up the party.
Well, then there's nothing more I can say. Well, we'll have the food and the bath and clean linen. I'm going to ask you one favor. Don't shave off that beard you've grown and wear the same old clothes. I wouldn't want folks to recognize you in advance. Then listen to the services first, before you make yourself known. Now, will you do that for me?
Well, okay, Doctor. I'll do that much. I'll wait at the back of the crowd until the thing's over. That'll make it more dramatic. All the fuss for nothing, see?
Yes, you're right. All the fuss for nothing.
And now we are honored in having as our guest the one who will unveil the monument at this dedication service, our own Mayor John Hewitt.
Well, John, you've heard yourself eulogized by your pastor, your humble physician, and now the mayor. In a moment, he'll call your mother.
My mother?
Yes. See how proud she looks. All her savings went into that marble memorial under the American flag. Why, you are her hero's son.
I'm glad she doesn't see me looking as I do. It'd be a shock after this.
Yes, it would. You left with Hetta up in your new uniform. You return in dirty civilian clothes, unshaven and red eyes from drink. You're not a hero. You are a cowardly deserter.
I ought to slug you for that.
You could, but you wouldn't, John. I'm right. I could have turned you over to the nearest army board, but I believe you'll do the right thing yourself. The mayor has finished. Let's step a little nearer.
Thank you, Mayor. And now, before the flag is lifted from the monument, I'm asking Mrs. Blake to step forward. Mrs. Blake, your gift to the community of River's End, the beautiful tribute to your son, makes us a proud and happy people this day. And now, may God bless our town, our nation, and you, the devoted mother of Captain John Blake. Amen.
The mayor has taken off the flag. It's being unveiled for the first time before the people of the town. Isn't it beautiful? Your mother is weeping. Yes, but it's from pride, John. We have honored you, John Blake, as much as if you had been buried in Arlington. You are their hero.
I can't take any more, Dr. Christian. I'm leaving.
Then let us slip out together. Here, this way.
Did you see Mother's face? Like a Madonna. I wonder how she would have looked if I stepped forward and announced myself alive.
She would have shown her horror, her doubt, and then her shame of your disgrace. No, John, let your mother live in ignorance until the day you can return, honorably discharged.
I'll come back if I'm alive. I promise you that. It won't be hard on me. I'm not really a deserter yet. I came down at sea, wounded, struggled to get back to the States. You've given me back my perspective, Doctor. I'll fight to the finish now, for River's End.
That's what all the boys are fighting for, John. Their own towns. Their homes.
I didn't see Mary. I'm glad. She never would have known me, looking like this.
Well, here's the car. Climb in. I'll drive you down to the station. Let's see, I've got about $25 with me. Enough to take you to the nearest camp at Elmwood, isn't it?
Yes, Elmwood. Well, you're a brick, Dr. Christian. I won't forget it in a hurry. I'll pay you back.
Oh, now, well, we wouldn't have our future here hitchhiking now, would we?
I saw Ted on the platform near Mother. Is he doing well? I mean, in the service?
He's a lieutenant now. Home on leave for this dedication. He goes overseas soon.
Poor Mother. Two of us gone.
Not poor at all. Susan Blake calls herself a very rich woman. Two fine sons in the service of a country. And neither to be ashamed of.
Thanks to you. Well, is Ted married yet? Is he a sweetheart? Dr. Christian, look at me. Is my brother in love with Mary?
I'm afraid he is, from all appearances.
And she? Is she in love with him?
I wouldn't be sure. Mary Irving was deeply grieved when she thought you were dead. But Ted is your brother. She may turn to him now.
No doubt. She wouldn't look at a bum like me.
Now remember, it's all up to you. You can come back if you wish. You can strike out these past months and begin again. Then you can face Mary as well as your mother. It'll be worth trying for.
Maybe too late. Mary may change.
She may. That's the chance you have to take.
To the window to buy my ticket. The station agent never recognized me. Am I as bad as all that?
I'm afraid you are, John. Pretty bad. And maybe it's just as well until you get to camp. And I guess here's what we part company. Let me hear from you if... John.
Huh?
There's Mary now. Running down the platform. She's coming toward us. Look.
Oh, to speed it quick. Before she recognizes me. So long, Doctor.
John, wait.
John! Oh, John! Oh, my dear heart. You're not dead. You're alive. You're alive.
Mary. Sweetheart. No, don't touch me. I'm not worthy. I came here to show myself. I don't know what I wanted to do. But Dr. Christian has shown me my duty, Mary. I can't come back a deserter. You and Mother would have broken your heart.
Johnny's going back to give himself up to the military. And when we have won this war and he comes back in the right way, we will have a hero after all, a live hero this time.
And I'll wait for you, John. I'll wait years.
Oh, Mary. Mary.
John. Beloved. There's never been anyone else. Not even Ted.
Oh, darling.
You must go now, John. Good luck. God bless you.
He has, Dr. Christian. He has. For he sent me to you. Goodbye. Goodbye.
And they played taps over him today.
So did they. As far as Captain Blake is concerned, and honored him with a memorial celebration. But as a man, my dear, I would say your Johnny's very much alive.
And
the curtain descends on another Dr. Christian prize play starring Gene Herschel. And here he is to greet you.
Well, this is the time in our Dr. Christian program when Helen Clare, who plays Judy Price when the show is in New York, talks to you about our fine Vaseline petroleum jelly. But I've borrowed the time from Judy tonight because I have some important things to say to you about your participation in the 7th War Loan Drive. The recent tremendous events we've all been part of have, I know, produced in us a great surge of power and purpose to crush the remaining foe and bring an end to all the killing. Now, to accomplish this, we must do three things. First, we must freshly equip and move millions of fighting men half around the globe. Second, we must bring to completion a whole new air force that is in the making with huge new bombers and fast new fighter planes. Third, we must have more of everything. More tanks, more trucks, more jeeps, more ships to transport them in. To pay for all this new effort, individuals like you and me are asked to lend the government $7 billion and put up the money by June 30th. We lend the money to buying war bonds. We get the money back plus interest when the bonds mature. Well, now, that's fair enough and a good, sound deal for anybody. But, my friends, it's so much more than that. For a lot of it, it's the only actual contribution to final victory we can make. For many others, it means supplying the fighting material for the sons and husbands and brothers we've sent before. But for all of us, it means the inner satisfaction of knowing that we at home are holding up our end in the titanic struggle that is to wipe these evil forces from the earth. And soon. Now, I'm not going to tell you how many bonds to buy, because we have a good, useful American slogan that fits the case perfectly. Let your conscience be your guide. Thank you very, very much. Next week, we present a new prize play called A Gentleman of Mystery by Rebecca M. Bennett of Indianapolis, Indiana. We invite you to listen to the Vaseline program again next Wednesday evening, same time and same station. And until then, I'll say good night.
For flattering, easy-to-manage hair, use Vaseline Hair Tonic with massage before every shampoo and afterwards like a brilliantine. Your hair will look better, your scalp will feel better. Remember, Vaseline Hair Tonic. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.